Beasley Media Group, BMI, and HD Radio present 100 Years of Radio, 100 Years of Hitmakers, where we celebrate a century of country radio hits written by some of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Hey, this is Brian Ives. I'm the managing editor of Beasley Media, and I'm hosting a series of interviews with country's best songwriters. We're digging deep, talking about some of their biggest hits. This week, we're talking to Emily Landis. She co-wrote Gabby Barrett's The Good Ones and Eric Paisley's Off the Edge of the Summer. Let's just jump into it. Tell me about co-writing that song.
Of course. So I actually looked in my old notebook from last year to find the exact date. It was February 20th of last year, 2019. I was supposed to write with Zach Cale and Jim McCormick, just those two guys that day. And Zach had said, hey, I'm working with this new girl, Gabby Barrett. She was on American Idol, and if y'all are interested, she could totally jump in today and we could have more of a target for our day. And we thought, yeah, that'd be great. Let's meet her. And 1 year later, she's like a big star. And I mean, we wrote this song when she was fresh off the show and she was, you know, I don't even know if she had moved to town yet, but the song kind of fell out of the sky and it was an incredible day.
So I saw a video on your Instagram. You know, I always try and do as much research as I can on people who I'm about to interview.
Yeah.
So in your case, you know, like you're still relatively new to the general public. So I'm like, she must be on, she's young. She must be on Instagram. Let me see what she shared. So I saw you performing that next to, I think it's your boyfriend.
Yes. Yes.
So Johnny McGuire. Yeah. So talk, I mean, was he the guy you had in mind when you were writing about The Good Ones?
Yeah. So like we all, I think as songwriters have these notes in our phone with song ideas, and I get inspiration for love songs all the time from my boyfriend, Johnny. He's just a great guy. And it's finally like the first really healthy relationship I've ever been in. And, you know, I knew that Gabby was dating her now husband from the show. They met on American Idol, and I was like, you know, maybe this girl wants to write a love song. I love love songs. And in that video where I'm singing the song with Johnny is at his mom's elementary school. That was last Christmas, right before Christmas break. We got to come in and play for some of her elementary schoolers, and it was so great. I mean, you can't really top playing for just kids who are happy to hear anything. It was amazing.
And it's got to be kind of weird. I mean, you're sitting next to the guy who you wrote it about. He's sort of,
I know,
he's giving a little bit of backing vocals there, but it's really your spotlight.
It's so cute. And we met writing songs. We were set up to write like 4 years ago, back when he was in a band. So it's just cool, full circle, how the song I wrote about him is like my first song that's actually ended up doing anything. So I'm really grateful, and it just makes me want to listen to my heart and write what's real and just be honest.
Most of the time when people write a song like this, though, it's about, you know, it could be about one person, but it could also be about a combination of people.
Yeah.
Are there lines in this song that are specifically about him?
Yeah, totally. You know, there's the beginning of the second verse. You'll know him when you see him. By the way he looks at me, you'd say he hung the moon. I'd say he hung the galaxy. I think I said that weird galaxy moon line, and I was like, y'all, I don't know if this is weird, but like, to me, Johnny like hung the whole world. Like, it's just, some people just mean that to you. And I don't know, there's just looking for a little cool new ways to say those emotions. I think a lot of lines remind me of him. The phone call to his parents. Yeah, he talks to his parents every day on the phone. Like, a lot of it's real.
You'll know him see him by the way he looks at me. You'd say he hung the moon. I'd say he hung the galaxy.
Nobody. So what did he think when he, you know, I don't know if you share songs that you're not writing together while you're in the midst of writing them. Like, what was his take when you showed it to him or played it for him?
It's funny because like we play a lot of songs for each other, but I don't think I played this one for him. I think it was so direct at him that I didn't want to. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I guess if something ever happens with it, he'll hear it. And then I think he finally heard it when it came out. So it's funny how that works that way. But yeah, so, I don't think I shared this one.
So, wow, it took that, like, it was basically at the point where it was on the radio, and that's when he heard it.
I think so, just about.
Wow.
Kind of crazy how that happens. He knows a lot of Myler's songs, and I don't know, it's just funny how you never know which one is going to be one that people relate to and something that sticks, and maybe I just didn't know how special that song was until other people realized it, too.
It's kind of, you know, most normal people probably, you know, normal meaning they're not songwriters.
Yeah.
Probably don't talk to their current boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife too much about their exes. But if you're a songwriter, right, they could sort of trace, you know, derive some information that maybe you might not have shared.
Yes, no doubt.
Do you look at his songs for that too? Like, who is that one
about? Oh, kind of, yeah. Or sometimes, you know, he'll play ones that are like clearly a love song that has, I'll be like, this one's about me, isn't it? but yeah, I mean, it's so fun to date a songwriter, and he'll say something or I'll say something, or we'll watch a show and something will happen where we'll look at each other and I'll be like, dibs on that hook. Like, I've texted him before and been like, wait, dibs on that thing I said that I joked could be a song. or we'll just write them together, which has been really fun too, especially during quarantine.
Sure. So what was Gabby's reaction when you played it for her, or when you showed it to her?
Well, Gabby, you mean the song in general?
Yeah.
Gabby wrote the song with us that day. She was in the room. So, I mean, I guess we threw up that idea and she liked it because it was a love song, and her first single, I Hope, is very much like revenge, you cheated on me kind of song. So she was into the idea, and we kind of just started, like, she's so melodic, and she got on the microphone and just sang pretty much what you hear on the radio. Like, the demo is, it could be that vocal. I'm not actually sure. It's that perfect to the day she sang it. But yeah, I was blown away. I work with a lot of great singers, and sometimes I'm just like, wow, you were born to do this.
Wow. And so, you know, it seems like you wrote a lot of these lyrics. Like, were any of them, you know, did she say, like, you're writing about your boyfriend, that line doesn't work for me, can we change that line?
Oh, like the, that makes me think of the Allegheny line. So we were messing with, like, in the first verse, this line, he's solid and he's steady, like the Allegheny run. So we were playing with the, he's solid and he's steady like the Mississippi runs. I'm like, oh, just a big river, you know? And then I think Jim, our co-writer, was like, Gabby, what's a river by your hometown? And somehow we landed on Allegheny. And I love those personal little details. My favorite songs growing up have little lines that I don't even know what some of these cities are or towns are, but these words just sound really good in songs. And it's like the more specific you get, the more people relate to it somehow.
So talk about the song with Eric Pasley, Off the Edge of the Summer.
Yeah, so this is a new song that Eric Pasley put out. He just released a whole album last week, but the week before he released this one song that we wrote 2 years ago on a Liz Rose music retreat in Orange Beach, Alabama. I remember it was like, we were in like a bedroom, me, Eric, Mark Trussell, and Emily Shackleton. We played with this idea. I had this title, like, Edge of the Summer. I was like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's almost the end of the summer, not quite. And then I think Eric said, like, dancing off the edge of the summer. And I was like, oh my God, that's so much cooler. And you just, someone starts singing something, and then all of a sudden the song, it feels like it falls from the sky sometimes. That's how this song totally felt. And like Mark Trussell was doing the demo, so Eric sang it right there. And then we're on the beach. Emily Shackleton caught a flight back home, and we all had the rest of the day to go to the beach. And like, that was the job for the day. Dancing off the edge of the summer. And it's crazy now. You know, 2 years later, the song comes out, and I'm so blown away by how it turned out. Lucy Silvis is singing harmonies on it with him, and she sounds so good. I'm just, like, geeking out a little bit, because I used to listen to Eric Pasley when I was in high school, and she don't love you, she's just lonely. Like, he's a legend. So I'm just so, I have to, like, pinch myself that I write with him.
And he's, like, one of those guys who started out as a writer for other people before he got the chance to start making. So that's got to be weird writing for / with a guy like that who, like, his thing is being a writer.
Yeah, he wrote Barefoot Blue Jean Night and Keep On Dreaming Even If It Breaks Your Heart, all those great songs. And I think the cool thing about Eric is, you know, you're just going to write whatever everyone feels like writing that day, and it's going to be great. And I kind of feel like sometimes you write with an artist and you're like, okay, what do they want to say? But Eric is so just like, let's just say whatever is the best idea in the room that day. But it's never really, are we writing for him? Are we not? Just let's write a great song.
I met him I actually interviewed him for his last record, but then after that I met him. He was playing guitar for Steven Tyler, and Steven Tyler did like one solo gig for that country album up here in New York.
Yep.
And he just seemed like such a, you know, like obviously you don't just go over to Steven Tyler and he's surrounded by bodyguards. And Eric seemed to have a real nice vibe with Tyler, but at the same time was so low key on his own. And I was with somebody who's sort of from Nashville, and she knew Eric's wife and everything. So, you know, but he just seemed like such a regular dude, but just a guy who happens to have a really cool job and also gets to make records and sometimes work with the singer of Harris.
Yeah, 100%. You would never know how much success Eric Paslay has had. He's so humble, and I think, like, above all else, he's a family man and great role model for his new baby. Him and his wife had a baby last year.
Oh, wow.
I'm just really glad to be a part of it. I'm good people, and I am very excited for his record.
So is that kind of the route that you're, you know, like, a lot of big Nashville people start out writing for other people before they got the opportunity to make their own records. Is that what you're looking to do, or you just, you know, are you happy being like, I like writing songs. I don't want to be recognized at the supermarket.
Yeah, I've never wanted to do the artist thing. There's just a lot of, I mean, I can sing, but I'm not like, I write with a lot of great singers. I can sing to a point where I can write songs, but I've never wanted to be the one on stage. I'm a little more, if I'm in the audience and I hear somebody sing a song that I wrote, that's like drugs. That's an adrenaline high. I want that, you know? But in Nashville, you get to do writer's rounds and stuff every once in a while that kind of gives you that your fix of like people get to hear you play your songs. So I think that's all I'm ever going to want. And I'm grateful just to do that. But to be able to like be one of the names behind the songs, like that's always been my dream.
And so have you, that was sort of my next question is, you know, have you been somewhere where you heard somebody singing Gabby's or heard somebody listening to Gabby's song and they have no idea they're standing next to one of the people who wrote it?
Yeah, actually, funny, ironic story. I was in a thrift store months ago with two of my friends and I was trying on, I like to call it my lucky jacket because it's like a vintage red Budweiser jacket that I found at this thrift store for like $7. And while I was trying it on in the dressing room, the song came on the speakers and I was like, what is this ironic world where I'm trying on a secondhand jacket in a thrift store and my song's playing on the speaker? Like, that is so cool. And I'm like, if anything, that's like some sign that I want to stay. I want to always be this girl who's trying on the jacket in the thrift store. But that's so cool that that song's also playing, you know?
So what do you have next? Or I know in if I ask an artist that, they'll be like, oh, I'm working on a new EP, new song. Like, I guess in the case of you guys, it's usually like, well, I'm trying to get a song on the new Blake album, but you really don't talk about it until it gets chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I'm finding like I have a couple songs that I really, really love that, you know, have maybe been on hold with a couple artists randomly or like a couple new artists that I'm working with who I really love. I find that I kind of have to invest in the new artist because it's not really likely that I'm going to get in the room with like Carrie Underwood or that I'm going to even get her to hear one of my songs, but I can potentially write with the next Carrie Underwood, you know, and I think that's kind of like what happened with Gabby. So kind of exciting that any day can change the game.
Well, the other thing is people could hear Gabby's song and then it's like, who wrote that? I want her for my next record.
Yeah. And they say, you know, if you don't chase trends and if you just write what you want to write, you'll eventually, these songs will come out and people will start to be able to, like, that's why people know a Shane McAnally song or like a Nicole Galeon song, a Lori McKenna. Like these people have certain Craig Wiseman, like you hear rhymes or phrases, Yoo-hoo bottle rolling on the floorboard where you're like, yeah, Craig Wiseman wrote that. So I think the goal is like eventually you want to have these songs where people are like, an artist goes, oh, I really need like an Emily Landis kind of song. That's the goal, I think.
Well, I hope you get there. I think you're off to a really good start. So.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Anyway, that's all the questions that I've got, but hopefully I'll speak to you down the road when you have a much huger song discography.
I love that.
We'll talk about
so
many of your other songs. So.
We'll put it out in the universe.
Thanks for hanging with us, Emily, and thank you guys for listening. Next week, we're talking to Jesse Frazier, who co-wrote Kane Brown and Marshmello's One Thing Right, He also co-wrote Thomas Rhett's Life Changes and songs for Kelsey Ballerini, Lauren Elena, Florida Georgia Line, and more. We'll catch you guys in 7 days.
100 years of radio, 100 years of hitmakers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.